Good morning. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for kind words and the emails that you've sent to me. Really appreciate it. Since it's my last Sunday and Melanie's quoting my sermons, I thought maybe I'd sing one of her songs. I'm kidding. So they asked me to keep my sermon shorter today. I don't want you to think I'm cutting corners because it's my last week, okay? Today I want to talk about what I consider to be the most important thing in the Bible. Not everything in the Bible is equal. God said this to be true. One of my favorite verses, it says in 1 Corinthians 13, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. It seemed appropriate for my last sermon here at West Heights, I'd speak about the most important topic in the Bible. And that verse says that love is the most important thing. I was tempted to do one of those value exercises, you know, where you're faced with a scenario and you need to make a decision. A scenario like you just had a shipwreck and you're in a rubber raft with a friend. And you have in the rubber raft a set of flares, enough food for a week, and 5 gallons of water. And you can't make it to land without throwing one thing overboard. What do you throw overboard? If you say, I would throw my friend overboard, I'm glad you're here today. We need to have one more sermon in this series, a sermon on love. Today we're going to look at the value of love, and as I said at the beginning of the series, Jesus was asked the ultimate values question. Your values, that just describes what's important to you. So on one occasion, Jesus was asked, what's the most important of all the teachings in the Bible? Which one is most important? That's a values question. And Jesus actually answered that question. He said in Mark chapter 12, the most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Jesus is saying you can take the whole Bible and sum it up in this one paragraph. I would take it a step further and summarize what Jesus said into one word. It's the word love. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is a value that God values the most. That's what Jesus said. What is love? I mean, after all, we use that word to mean a lot of things. I can say I love my wife Kim, and I love pepperoni pizza, and I hope you know there's a difference between those two. But there's no way in our language to tell. And as a result, love is it's a very misunderstood word. Today, there's a lot of insincere love. I saw this letter. It says, Dearest Ben, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say that you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Rebecca. P.S. Congratulations on winning the provincial lottery last week. Is that genuine? There are many popular misconceptions about love. Many of them come from Hollywood. Hollywood never tells you the whole truth about what love is. When you look at Hollywood, love is either sentimental or it's sexual. Hollywood makes love artificial and superficial. It's great entertainment, but it's unrealistic. So you grow up thinking you're Snow White and you're going to marry Prince Charming, But what happens is you end up with grumpy. The Bible says three things about the importance of the value of love. One, the best use of your life is to love. The best use of your life is to love. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, let love be your highest goal. Underline the words highest goal. That verse is saying, make it your greatest ambition. Make it your life purpose. Don't put it in the top 10 things you should do in your life. Don't say one of the things I'm going to have in my life is loving relationships. Make it number one. Why does God say to make it your highest goal? There's two reasons. God says love is what life's all about. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. See, that verse is saying you can do the right thing for the wrong reason and it doesn't count. You can have $1 million, but if you don't have love, God says you're bankrupt. It's amazing to me that we often act like we have to squeeze loving relationships into our schedule, that we have to find time for quality time, that we somehow have to fit it into our lives. Well, that's wrong. God says, he doesn't say that loving relationships are an important part of your life. He says, loving relationships are your life. That's what life is all about. It's all about love. So when Jesus says, love God and love other people, what is he saying? Well, in a word, Jesus is saying that life is about relationships. So it's not about achievement, and it's not about acquisition of things, and it's not about accolades you might get at work. It's about relationships. And if you miss that, you miss the point of life. That's the bottom line. What matters most is loving relationships. He doesn't even say life's about religion. It's about a relationship in which you love God and you love others. And it's both. He says the second commandment is equally important. Because even in our Anabaptist circles, I see people want to love others, but curiously, they have little time to love God. But there are also people who say they love God, but it never seems to translate into loving their neighbor. If life is about love, why do we often allow our relationships to get the short end of the stick? Why do we, when we get overloaded, why do we start skimming relationally? We fill all kinds of other commitments, but we cut back on the time with those we love. We don't give our relationships the time, the energy, the attention they deserve. The biggest temptation in our culture, I've said to you many times over the years, the biggest temptation we face in our culture is the temptation to get distracted with less important things. That's the biggest temptation you face in this time and place that we live. Because there's so many things that can distract you. And we end up focusing on the urgent rather than on the important. Big difference. Not everything that's urgent in your life is important in your life. And we end up spending all of our time making a living, getting the job done, finishing the work, paying the bills, accomplishing a goal, as if that's the point of life, when it's not. The point of life, God says, is love, is relationships. The second reason we make it our highest goal is that love is the only thing that's going to last. The only thing that's going to last is love. Everything else eventually is going to burn up. It's going to decay. It's going to fall apart. The only thing that's going to last in your life is love. It says, again, in this verse we started with, these things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. I mean, if I were to ask you, how many of you would like to leave a legacy after you die? You'd all put your hand up. I said, how many of you would like to make a difference with your life? You'd all raise your hand. But I said, how many of you would like to make a positive influence on this world that outlasts you? you'd put your hand up. Well, God's showing us how to have a lasting legacy. God is showing us how to make it an enduring impression. Fill your life with love. He says, these three things will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. He's saying love, not work, not wealth. Love is the key to lasting legacy. You know, we think it's our achievements that people are going to remember. I hate to tell you this, but nobody's going to remember your achievements. 5 years from today, nobody's going to care what you've achieved. Every trophy, award that you've won, eventually it's going in the trash. I've been around people when they're on their deathbed. You know, and watching people as they stand on the edge of eternity, they're evaluating their life. I've never heard any person say, bring me my diplomas. I want to look at them one more time. Give me that gold watch I got for 25 years of company service. Show me my awards, my trophies. Nobody wants to surround themselves with things like that. People surround themselves with the people who love them and the people that they love. Here's the point. You're eventually going to figure that out in the final moments of your life. What really matters are relationships. Why not figure it out sooner? Why wait until you're on your deathbed to figure out the things that don't matter? The only thing that matters is relationships. So nothing can take the place of it. Fame can't, wealth can't, success can't. So I stand here on my last Sunday as the pastor of this church. I don't think about what we've achieved. Think about all of you, the people I love. Why don't we love people more? I think the truth is that love is a risk. It's a risk to love. In fact, it's the greatest risk-reward scenario I know of. And people are afraid to take the risk. I mean, I know people who have ice water in their veins when they're closing a business deal, but they're afraid to love. I know people who they'll do all kinds of extreme sports, but they're afraid to love. I just suggest from this day forward, when you get up in the morning and you sit on the edge of your bed, you just pray, God, whether I get anything else done today, and I might not get anything else done today, but if I accomplish anything today, I want to spend time with you, and I want to spend time with the people I care about, and I want to love you, and I want to love them. Because that's what life is all about. And if you don't do that, you've missed the point of your life, and that day has been a failure. God's first law of relationships is the best use of your life is to love people. The second law of relationships is this: the best way to love is time. It says in 1 John 3, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions. The Greeks had four words when they talked about love. You probably have heard this before: affection, sexual attraction, friendship, and unconditional actions of love towards another. So it's the last one that's used in this verse. It's the word that's used of God's love for us. It's this idea of an unconditional commitment to act in love towards another person. So that's why you can actually love people when you don't actually like what they're doing. So God's not saying that you need to have warm affection for everyone. There were some guys in Jesus' life. They were called the Pharisees. And one time he walked up to them and he said, you guys are a bunch of snakes. You put heavy religious loads on other people. Does that sound like warm affection to you? When someone calls you a snake, do you feel like they have warm affection for you? No. But he loved them because he loved everybody. So you can love people and not like everything they do. And the best way to love people is to give them your time. If you're not giving people your time, you're not really loving them. You know, for your wife, what is the most desired gift of love? Diamonds? Wrong answer. Roses? No. Chocolate? Fat chance. The most desired gift of love is focused attention. I want to talk to you. I want to listen. I want to fellowship. I want your focused attention. That's the greatest gift you can give someone. It's the most precious thing you have is your time. And when you give someone your time, you're giving them your life. Time's the most precious commodity. You only have a certain amount of it. And God's already decided in advance how many seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks you're going to have in your life, and you won't get any more of it. You can always get more money, but you can never get more time. So every time you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of your life that you're never going to get back. That's why it's the greatest gift you can give someone, is giving them your time. You can't get it back. Your time is your life. Jesus taught the essence of relationships. It's not what we do for each other. And the essence of a relationship is not what we give each other, the presents we buy and give. You can do that without having a relationship. The essence of a relationship is how much we give of ourselves to each other. That's what a relationship is about, giving yourself. So the greatest gift you can give someone is the gift of self. You know, us men, we don't always get that. I can't tell you how many guys have said to me, you know, I don't understand it. I provide for my family. They have everything they need. What more could they want? Well, they want you. Your attention, your eyes, your ears, your time, your presence, your focus. That's what they want. Nothing can compensate for that. You know, kids need parents who spend time with them. I remember when Brooklyn was smaller, she was talking about what she might want to do when she grew up. And at the time, she said some of the things she might want to do. And she said she was thinking she would be a pastor, but it takes you away from your kids too much. Ouch. I have this poem. It's written by a workaholic dad. It says, I have a son who's 5 years old, a boy so very fine. When I look at him, it seems to me that all the world is mine. But seldom do I ever see my son awake and bright. I only see him when he sleeps. I'm only home at night. When I come home so weary in the darkness after day, my wife says to me, you should have seen him play. So I stand beside his bed, and I look and ponder there, and I wonder if he's dreaming. Why isn't Daddy here? You know, I read that, I believe it's an American statistic, but I read a statistic this week that said that 40% of children of divorced parents go an entire year without seeing their fathers. Nothing can replace the time your family needs. If you're married, give your spouse the time they deserve. If you have kids, give them the time they need. Whenever you give them your time, you're making a sacrifice. You're making a sacrifice of your life. That's what love is all about. It's about sacrifice. It says in Ephesians 5, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So if it isn't a sacrifice, it's not real love. You can call it love, but it's not. If it isn't a sacrifice, it's not real love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I know many people who are in time-starved relationships. You live in the same house, but you're like ships passing in the night. A goodbye kiss here and there. but your relationship is shriveling, it's shrinking. It's drying up from lack of attention. You know, a lot of things can rob a relationship. Work can rob a relationship. Activities can rob a relationship. Hobbies can rob a relationship. Too much church involvement can rob a relationship. Fun things that you like to do can rob a relationship. TV can rob a relationship. Surfing the internet can rob a relationship. You know, I read this study that said that they did comparison groups, and they said a fundamental truth is that better parents spend more time with their kids. Makes sense, doesn't it? Better parents compared to parents that don't do as well, they just spend more time with their kids. And just let me remind you that God says, love your kids. Don't worship them. Love them. Today, many parents worship their kids and love their things. You might ask Todd, well, how can I have more time for those I love? Turn off the TV. Unplug the computer. I'm not saying get rid of them. I'm just saying limit them. The average Canadian watches between four and six, between watching TV, surfing on their computer, the average Canadian spends 4 to 6 hours a day doing that. I mean, that's 97 days straight at 16 hours a day watching TV or playing the internet. That will hurt a relationship. If you want to revitalize a dying relationship, a dying marriage, a dying friendship, it's going to start with you investing more time. So here's your homework this week. Just spend 15 minutes a day with every person in your family, talk with them, look in the eye to them, listen to them, focus on them, empathize with them, seek to understand them. Maybe you need to apologize to them. Each one, 15 minutes a day. Why? Because the most important thing to do is to love people, and the best way to love people is time. That's how you express love. And the third law of relationships is the greatest time to love is right now. Not next week, not later, not when things settle down, not when you reach a certain standard of living. It's now. It's right now. It says in Galatians, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. It says in Proverbs, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow, and then I'll help you. There's some things in your life that procrastination is a good response. It's not that important, so you ought to put it off. But since love is the most important thing in your life, the top priority in your life, when you choose anything else over a loving relationship, you've made a bad decision. Because you missed the point of life. See, Todd, why such urgency? Why does it have to be now? Because you don't know how long you'll have. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to get to love those people. Circumstances change. People die. Children grow up and leave home. You're not guaranteed even tomorrow, much less next year. If you're going to express love, you better do it now. Don't wait. Friends, the question is not whether we're going to regret this frantic pace, overloaded, stressed to the limit lifestyle that everybody in this room is living. It's not if we're going to regret it. The only question is when. When it's too late? After the family's fallen apart? If you have kids, the time to love them is now. If you have a spouse, the time to love them is now. If you have friends, neighbors, coworkers, the time to love them is now. When I was a kid, there was a famous singer His name is Pat Boone. Anybody remember him? Some of you are as old as me, or older. I don't know if you remember, but his daughter, she wrote a book. Her name is Sherry Boone. She wrote a book about her struggle with anorexia. Her book was called Starving for Attention. Who do you know like that? Who do you know that is starving for attention? The answer is everybody. Everybody is starving for attention. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to change? Are you going to stand before God one day and explain why things were more important than people? What excuse are you going to give for not putting first things first in your life? Who do you need to start spending more time with? What do you need to cut out of your schedule? What sacrifice do you need to make for the things that really count? The best use of life is love. The best expression of love is time. The best time to love is now. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for the privilege of pastoring this congregation for the past 16 years. It's been a joy to be in community with these people. And I pray earnestly for them that this church will be known for their love for one another. It's so easy to get distracted from what's most important in life, knowing and loving you and knowing and loving those around us. Forgive us for being task-driven instead of love-driven. Forgive us for valuing things and accomplishments more than people. I just encourage you to make your own prayer this morning. Father, just thank you for this wake-up call today. I know that the people who love me are a gift from you, so please forgive me for taking them for granted. Please forgive me for allowing other things to crowd out my relationships to you and to others. I want to change that. I want to slow down. I want to make time for loving relationships. I know that this may mean making some personal sacrifices. But Jesus, you model real love when you sacrifice yourself for me. Thank you. I want to be like you. I want to make love the highest goal of my life for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.